What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And tonight we are continuing with our traumatic childhood movies. We're talking about my pick of The Secret of Nim from 1982. Have you watched this one before?
Don't think so.
No.
I've definitely heard of it. I've definitely like seen the cover and stuff like that, but I don't really remember anything. I think I remember like the owl from it, but
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
I don't remember this movie, so pretty much the first watch for me.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it.
Nice.
I hope, anyways. But I've watched this like fairly recently.
Okay.
I had it on Letterboxd rated, but not the proper way. So it was in that time period where we were just starting to use Letterboxd and didn't know how to lock movies properly. So what, I don't know, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, probably. But yeah, this wasn't like a staple of my childhood, but I'd watched it a few times as a kid. And yeah, there's certain things that freaked me out back then. And yeah, I don't want to talk about it too much, but anywho, before we dive into it though, we'll kick off our news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
Still working on my Coors Light.
How fucking big is that case?
Was 60 cans.
Okay.
I
I feel like you've been drinking that since before your trip.
have. Since Theo's birthday, I bought them, which
Jesus.
is like May, end of May.
Holy fuck. I'm diving into that Collective Arts collection again. So tonight is
Nice.
a Citrus Gin Collins. See how that is. Not a huge gin fan, but
Yeah.
starting to grow on me a bit. And that's not bad.
There
Not bad at all. You can barely even taste the gin in it.
you go.
All right. What are your last four watched?
Last four watched. Last four watched. Finally watched Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
It's funny. I don't know if you saw my message on Discord or not, but that, for some reason, I added that to my watch list not very long ago. And I keep meaning to watch it, and I just haven't gone around to it.
It was all right. I thought it was pretty boring, to be honest. Like
Yeah.
everyone said it's like really sad. It is sad, but I don't know, I just didn't connect with it that much. So
Yeah.
I didn't cry during it. I didn't find it like overly sad. I just found Casey Affleck's performance is good, but just
Yeah.
I don't know, just it's kind of boring.
Okay.
Anyway, still worth checking out. Then I finally watched The Place Beyond the Pines.
So good.
In one of the Discords, where there's like a film raffle channel, and someone picked this movie for me, and I'm happy because it's been one to watch it since it came
Yeah.
out, basically, and just never have. I didn't even know what it was about. Just wish I had more Gosling in it, but I mean, I love the way the story played out and stuff like that. But I thought they tied it up really well. Some really good actors in it. Good cast. And then I watched the drama from this year. Again, had no idea what it was about. When it kind of blind, all I knew it has Robert Pattinson and Zendaya in it. And whatever the secret or reveal happens in this movie caught me way off guard. Did not
Okay.
expect it, because we don't see too many movies that tackle this subject.
Okay.
And I feel like they did a really good job. I think both performances are fantastic. definitely check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of made me feel unsettled and disturbed. So yeah, definitely worth checking out. And then yeah, making my way through my Alfred Hitchcock 4K set, so watch Rear Window again. And
Nice. I love that movie.
yeah, I'm gonna rank all of his movies on Letterboxd. So
Gonna watch them all? Okay.
well, my set came with like 10 movies or
Yeah, that's
eight
true.
movies, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool. I didn't watch a lot this week, actually. Watched the new Scary Movie. Absolutely hated it. I gave it a half star like immediately after watching it. I might watch it again and just see. I might have just been in a bad mood and pissed because it was so disappointing,
Yeah.
but it might be better than a half star. But currently, it is my worst movie from 2026.
Okay.
And then I've been seeing Not Just a Goof on my TV box, and it's a behind the scenes look of how a Goofy movie was made, and just like the artist's process and everything like that. And I fucking love that movie, so I wanted to check this out. And it was really good. I had a lot of fun watching this, the I don't know, the work that went into it and how it kind of was a Disney resurgence, and Disney was kind of falling off a cliff whenever it came out, and it helped bring it back up. So I don't know. It's a good little documentary.
Nice.
And then we were talking about Kingpin at work like last week or something like that. I was like, fuck, I haven't watched that in forever.
Yeah.
So I tossed that on the
Yeah,
other night, and
I saw that pop up and I was like, that's such a random ass movie.
it, 'cause we talk a lot about movies at work, 'cause there's like three or four of us that are really into movies, and the one guy's he's like a bit older than us. He's like, I think just 50, but he's got a young soul. So
Yeah.
like we're always talking movies and shit like that, and this one got brought up, so
Nice.
that's all I've watched. I've only watched three since we last recorded for Fury Road. So,
Fair enough.
yeah, did a lot of reading this week. All right, for news, I don't have a whole lot. I'm sure you saw it, but unfortunately, Reggie Bannister passed away the other day. He was in Phantasm, Wishmaster, a whole bunch of other ones. I see Bloody Disgusting has created and released a horror movie database and community. So it's basically like their own version of Letterboxd, but it's only horror movies.
Okay.
I may check it out. I may not, just because.
What's it called?
Let me see what they named it.
I feel like there was one that came out a few years ago that I joined that was like a horror movie.
Yeah, that was Slasher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, that died quickly, eh?
Yeah, it seemed to have. It just says horror movie database. Yeah. That might just be what it's called. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to take away from Letterboxd because obviously we're obsessed with that. But I might check it out. We'll see. There's a couple other. There's just like a lot of trailers that have come out this week. American Horror Story 13 brings back Twisty the Clown and the show's all-time greatest villains. I kind of want to go through all the seasons because I stopped after Freak Show, I think, where Twisty was. I think that was my last season. McDonald's has unveiled a Godzilla X Hello Kitty Happy Meal toys. I kind of hope they come to Canada. I don't know if they will or not, but
When does that movie come out anyway?
is it this year?
It is this year.
Godzilla Minus Zero.
Yeah.
I almost bought the Minus One Steelbook today. I was browsing through Grove and they had it available. I was like, fuck, I want it, but
November 6.
not too far away. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like everything else is just like Nothing crazy.
Fair enough.
Have you seen trailers for the end of Oak Street?
No, I think I've seen like the first teaser,
Yeah.
and I've seen a couple like stills from the movie with the T-Rex.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't. I want to go see it.
I'm
That was
so
the only,
intrigued.
I know I want to go see that and Tony as well.
Which one's Tony?
It's Matt Johnson's new movie about Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks good. I want to see Digger too, but I can't remember when it comes out.
I think, I don't think it comes out until a
Next
couple
year?
months, I think. No,
Oh,
this
okay.
year, but yeah.
Wild.
I've heard some people say that they think it's a possibility that The End of Oak Street is another Cloverfield movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen, but yeah.
Yeah, never know. Yeah, I'm super intrigued by it. I think it's a fucking batshit crazy idea, and if they pull it off, that's, I don't know,
I
it's level.
am really waiting for the They Follows trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they do well with that one. All right. What do we have for 4K?
4Ks. We got Rambo the Complete Collection.
Oh, that's sick.
That is sick. We got Sin Street,
Okay.
The Furious. That's a sick cover.
That is sick.
We got The Descent Part 2.
Oh,
We got Spike of Bensonhurst. Oh my God.
that's why I made that noise.
We got a Barbarian Steelbook.
Oh, my Lanta.
And yes, your boy pre-ordered it.
Did you?
Yes, sir.
Is it on Grove?
It is not.
Oh,
If it
fuck.
was Grubb, it would have been here already. I got it on, well, it used to be Unobstructed View, but
Okay.
it got bought by a company called Cinema Seller.
Okay.
So it doesn't have a tracking yet. It said it was supposed to ship on August 6th. So I don't know. I don't know. But
Shit.
I'm excited to fucking get it because it's
Yeah.
only taken 4 years, man.
I
Like,
know. I know.
yeah, it was
And
like
that's.
expensive. Like, with shipping, it was like 110 bucks.
Yeah. But I
But I
mean, you've been
mean,
waiting.
this is like the holy grail for me.
Yeah. And that steelbook's fucking sick.
We got Mars Attacks,
Sweet.
Project Hail Mary.
Finally.
Finally, we got Hokum, Beverly Hills Cop, Clear and Present Danger, Dawn of the Dead Steelbook from 2004, JFK, Jew on the Grudge on 4K, New York, New York, Death Warrant, and Epic Elvis Presley in Concert.
Sweet. Fuck, it's a good week.
So, very good week.
Yeah.
I might wait to get Project Hail Mary because I feel like they're gonna release a nice steelbook for that.
Yeah, it's a good call.
So, yeah. But yeah.
Sweet. Ian just got, well, he bought Furious on Prime, so I want to see his thoughts on it. He was supposed to report back, but he
Fucking
hasn't
guy.
yet. All right, cool. Ready to dive into this movie?
Yes, sir.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about The Secret of Nim from 1982. To save her ill son, a field mouse must seek the aid of a colony of rats with whom she has a deeper link than she suspected.
Sir.
This was directed by Don Bluth, who directed An American Tale, The Land Before Time, All Dogs Go to Heaven, Rockadoodle, Thumbelina, A Troll in Central Park. I'm going through his whole resume because they're just fucking banger after banger after banger. The Pebble and the Penguin, Anastasia, and Titan AE.
Damn.
This man single-handedly went up against Disney in the 80s and early 90s, and arguably for that time period did better, in my opinion. I talk about it later on in my review. His movies were so important to 80s and 90s kids.
Yeah.
Like, you got The Land Before Time, absolutely gut-wrenching. You got All Dogs Go to Heaven, absolutely gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Rockadoodle, fucking amazing movie with a killer soundtrack.
Yeah.
Is The Secret of Nim, gut-wrenching. Like, just
Yeah.
we he had this run of movies that Disney was like sunshine and rainbows with a villain. Everybody wins in the end. Nothing bad really happens. Like, we had The Fox and the Hound where you kind of had to deal with some of that shit. But like, his movies, you dealt with so much added layers that like kids didn't quite understand.
Yeah.
But thinking back and as an adult, you're just like, oh my God, these movies fucking ripped our lives apart in a good way. But like, yeah.
And so Don Bluth and about 23 other animators left Disney because they felt Disney rejected this project being too dark. And like he was either assistant animator or animator on like Sleeping Beauty, The Sword in the Stone, other Disney ones, Robin Hood, Winnie the Pooh, The Rescuers, Pete's Dragon, Fox and the Hound, and then after that just went to directing his own movies.
I just, I don't know, man. I think when you look at his resume, it's just like, wow, this guy was something else. But not to suck his dick for too long. Moving on to the cast, we have Elizabeth Hartman playing Mrs. Brisby, Derek Jacobi playing Nicodemus, Dom DeLuise playing Jeremy. So good. And Arthur Mallet or Mallet playing Dr. Ages. I have three honorable mentions. I'm assuming we're going to have two of the same.
So one of them who kind of sounds familiar, John Carradine, he played the Great Owl. And then Peter Strauss as well, but I feel like I'm just getting because there's an author, I think Strauss, isn't there?
Yes, I believe so. I have Shannen Doherty, who played Little Teresa. Our boy Will Wheaton playing Martin, who, man, our introduction to Martin fucking kills me when he's in the fight with Auntie Shrew. And then my third one, I have Lucille Bliss, who played Mrs. Fitzgibbons. And she voiced Smurfette in all of the 80s Smurfs renditions. So, pretty good cast of voice actors. I think everybody did a really good job. All right, let's talk about it.
Let's do it. Yeah, I didn't realize this movie is like came out in the early 80s. Like I thought for some reason it was like late 80s, like early 90s, but that was like 82. So
I feel like the subject content is way before its time.
100%.
Like, the type of stuff that happens in this, you could see in the 90s where we have like the whole PETA uproar and stuff like that. So, once you learn what the secret of NIMH actually is, you're just like, oh shit, like this is way before its time.
So yeah, we it opens up. We got Jonathan Brisby. He is the dad. He was you find out he was killed trying to come up with a plan to help his family move out of this kind of farmer's field area. So it's been 4 years. Nicodemus is the one that's narrating the story. We meet Mr. Aegis, who lives in an old farm machine. Find out Timothy is sick, who is Mrs. Brisby's one of her sons. He has a fever. She's getting help from him, but he doesn't really like help that much. He gives her like something and basically says, don't go outside for 3 weeks. Blah blah blah.
She's like, but
And
the
then
great move is coming.
We meet Jeremy the Crow. Feel like his voice is so recognizable, man.
Yeah. I love this character so much.
Yeah, he's kind of like this, I don't know how to say it, but like clumsy, like
Yeah.
silly, goofy character who like just wants to help and but yeah.
He's like borderline a womanizer, but it's mainly because like it's like an innocent version of it. It's like he's learning how to speak to women through Mrs. Brisby. She's like kind of teaching him throughout the movie. So I don't know. It's a really fun character, and I really enjoy the interactions between Brisby. Like he just wants to help, but he's causing way more chaos than
And he
she
sticks
could.
with them like through the whole movie, because he learned that like he's trying to find a companion. Like that's why he's getting the string to show like the other crow that like bring it to Geth or something like that. So he's caught in this like strain and Miss Brisby trying to help him, and then she's talking about this person called Dragon, and you find out it's a cat, and you're like, fucking cat named Dragon, what kind of fucking name is that? The cat belongs to a farmer, and then you see like this thing jumping in the field catching birds, and he's like, oh, just a rabbit, like runs through, then you just see the fucking shadow of the cat. And man, this gotta be the scariest cat ever, man. It is terrifying. It's got like a yellow eye, and then other eyes is blue, like it lost its eye or got fucked up somehow.
This cat looks like it's been through war. I mean, it is an old farm cat, so it makes sense.
He's a big boy too, man.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So they're trying to run away from Dragon. It's a pretty good chase scene. They like fall down in this like waterfall, and Miss Brisby's just run away from this fucking cat.
She loses the medicine.
Loses the medicine, and then she's like sad and stuff, and then Jeremy's like, yeah, I just grabbed this paper here, I didn't really think about it. And she's like, oh, you got it, thank you. And he's like, oh yeah, I totally did that on purpose. They learn that they live in a garden patch. Other kids are Cynthia, Martin, and Timmy,
Teresa.
and Teresa. So the frost is off the ground. Moving day is here. Auntie Shrew is like this babysitter person who's fucking annoying as shit.
And Martin tells
And
her that too.
yeah. And yeah, so the tractor's starting, and then it's like, okay, yeah, moving day because the fucking tractor's gonna rip up the field. And Timmy's still in the bed sick, like he's not fucking moving at all. And so Brisby's out there trying to stop the tractor, and Auntie Shoe's trying to like help her, and they end up getting like the tractor stopped, and like the farmer's like, oh, I'll have to fix this and do this again tomorrow or whatever. You find out that Brisby wants to go see the owl, who was like the great owl, and Jeremy's like, well, don't the owls eat mice or something like that? Or Auntie Shrew says that, and I was like, well, wouldn't the owl like eat shrews as well? They're like the same fucking thing, right?
You're just a little fatter.
So Jeremy's taking her to see the owl, and Brisby isn't around her kids that much, man. She's fucking just leaving them like all the
I know, right?
time.
Auntie Shrew will watch them.
Did any of your kids watch this movie with you?
No, I wanted them to, but nobody was feeling a movie last night. So I was just like, whatever, I'll fucking wait till you go to bed then. But I do, this is one that they will be watching. I think I might have a fucking marathon with them of all of his movies. And I'll
Yeah, that's
just
fair.
sit back and watch them all cry. He'll be like, ha, I had to watch these when I was little and it traumatized me. So your turn.
Yeah, Theo watched like the last little bit of this movie with me tonight. But still doesn't know really what the fuck's going on, but Yeah, so Jeremy's taking her to the Great Owl. I feel like I remember this scene, or maybe getting it confused with another like movie similar to this, like where they're like in a desert or something like that, and there's like a big bird trying to chase them.
Yeah, because you did mention that whenever I picked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't. That's why I asked if it was the Rescuers, but.
No, I don't think so. Because the Rescuers was the Australian one.
Yeah. Well, that
Yeah.
was the Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, yeah.
There was an original Rescuers as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you think of the Great Owl in this whole scene?
Man. It's such a fucking creepy vibe in his little whatever the fuck this thing is. Like,
Yeah.
owls sleep in trees. I don't know why he's living in this cave thing. Because, like,
I
Brisby
think it
goes
is a
in
tree,
there.
though.
Yeah, but it's like he's in the tree.
There's
Like,
like fucking spider webs and
yeah.
shit.
So, Jeremy leaves her, like, to just go in on her own. And she's, like, creeping through. And yeah, like you said, there's spider webs everywhere. And it's very dark and unsettling. And then all of a sudden in the background, you see this fucking giant ass spider crawling down the side of
Oh.
the inside of the wall. And the spider's just about to get her. And then you see this big clawed foot just slam down on the ground and
Yeah.
kills it.
Yeah.
And man, the owl is so scary looking.
Yeah, he's so cool.
But like, he helps her, which is kind of surprising. But he's almost like he's a wise old owl, but just very creepy looking.
Yeah. Because,
Bright glowing eyes.
yeah, because she's at the door and she's scared to go in, obviously. And then you just hear him say, like, I forget what he says exactly, but it's like either come in or leave or something like that. And it's his voice, and then she knows that he only hunts at night. So now after he like tells her to go talk to Nicodemus, he's like, it's nighttime, I have to go. And he just fucking walks out like slowly, like with a limp, like just this old owl. Yeah.
Yeah, because he
And then
tells her that she has to go talk to the rats and she doesn't want to. But he knows who she is.
Yeah.
So he basically says, like, you'll be fine. You have to go talk to the rats.
Yeah. I love the shot whenever he goes out on like the perch and he opens his big wings and like his like back is covered in spider webs. That's fucking cool. Yeah, it was also scary whenever she first sees him because his head is like
Oh,
turned
yeah.
around
Like
and then he just
upside
like
down.
turns his head around. I was like,
It
this movie is dark as shit. Like,
is, man.
it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can kind of understand where Disney was coming from.
100%. Like,
But.
especially the last little bit, like some of the shit, I was like, this is a kid's movie?
Yeah,
Like,
man.
fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it ever say what happened to her husband? Like, he dies, obviously. But does it say how he died? I
Yeah,
forget.
we'll get to it.
Okay.
It's during the big reveal.
Right. Yeah, so the rats are in the rose bush. Says ask for Nicodemus. He's like the elder of the stone, I think, or something like that. Yeah, so she gets to the rose bush. Instantly there's a rat trying to kill her with like this fucking like spear axe thing.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is violent as shit, man.
It is. And the rats have electricity that
Yeah.
they're
Yeah.
stealing from the farmer. And like, I'd forgotten what the whole story was. And I was like, how the fuck do they have power? I can't remember. And then like, how are they smart enough? And then it all comes into fruition after, but it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yes, because they want to leave. Nicodemus wants to leave to the Thorn, what's it called? Thorn Valley, I think. Because he's sick of like the rats stealing everything from the humans, basically.
Yeah, so he basically says, like, we are smart enough. We don't need to be stealing. It's not right to be stealing, which is a good message to give in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And they kind of just want to make it on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, because the mice are seen as like lower quality, like, people. Yeah, so she finds ends up finding Mr. Ages down there, and she runs into who's the other Justin?
Justin, yeah.
Yeah, Justin's like another rat who's like actually good.
He's like
And
the
then
leader of the guard.
And so there's another rat named Jenner who is like the villain basically. He wants to kill Nicodemus, and he wants to have the rats stay here to just keep stealing shit. And he has like, some guys on his side, so he's like kind of dividing the rat population. Nicodemus is like this really old fucking rat, like with glowing eyes, and he doesn't really do much. Like he just kind of stays in his like little throne
Yeah.
magic area.
He kind of looks like Splinter.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Like he's got like the long like mustache kind of thing.
Jenner wants the power that Nicodemus has, or can get more power. So yeah, he wants to use this opportunity to pretend to help Brisby to kill Nicodemus.
I think this is when we learn why they're so smart too, is it not?
Yeah, because she goes and sees Nicodemus, and he shows her like the book and stuff like that. So I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but like, what is NIM?
So NIM is the National Institution of Mental Health.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah. So all these rats were just regular street rats, and then they all got caught and caged up and sent to the National Institution of Mental Health to do testing, medical testing, lab testing. This one drug that they had injected them with had created this like sort of super race of rats. It made them really smart. They were able to function better than regular rats. And it kind of took a bit of a turn that I don't think the humans were expecting. But then so there was, I think he said 20 rats and 10 mice or something like that. So then Jonathan Brisby, he was one of the trapped mice. So the mice got smarter as well. But when I, so Jonathan was able to help them all escape because he was small enough to get through the holes in the cages. So he helped all of them escape. But then there was like this vacuum tunnel sort of thing, and all of the mice got sucked into it except for Mr. Ages and Jonathan. So they were the only two mice that survived this escape. But then all the rats survived. So Jonathan died doing the same thing that Mrs. Brisby does with the cat. The cat catches him. So that's how he died. But this is why everybody, like Jonathan, is like this fucking messiah in this farm field,
Because
because
everyone knows him.
everybody knows him. He knows, they all know what he did to help the rats escape. And like he's just a very kind-hearted, brave mouse.
So yeah, I see that there is some fan theories about the animal intelligence. So it's never really explained why like the non-laudatory animals like the great owl, anteshrew, and Jeremy the Crow have like human-like speech and stuff. So one theory is that when Jonathan and the rats escaped in the wild, they began shedding the mutated virus or bacteria into the local ecosystem.
Yeah, because even like Mrs. Brisby, like she's smart, she can read a little bit, like Jonathan was able to teach her to read.
So yeah, like nearby creatures like anteshrew and the field mice caught a diluted version of the bug. This explains why they wear clothes, use basic tools, and are significantly smarter than the wild nonverbal farm cat dragon.
Okay. I like that theory.
Another detailed theory is when Mrs. Brisby visits his lab for medicine, human-sized open books can be seen on his desk. Closer inspection reveals they are official research journals stolen from NIM. And so the theory argues that Mr. Aegis has been actively trying to replicate the NIMH serum and testing it on local wildlife.
Oh.
So that explains why intelligence is selective. Some local animals behave like humans, while others remain ordinary beasts.
Interesting.
And then there's the secondary consumer theory, which, like, the wild owls, crows, predators like that, they consume the mice and rats, eat them, and then get infected themselves.
But there's only two mice that survived that.
Yeah.
And they're both, well, Jonathan's dead, but Mr. Ages is still
Yeah.
alive.
And then this one, I think I believe as well, is that Nicodemus and the Great Owl have like a psychic link between each other.
Yeah, because they do have this like this orb or like a magic crystal ball that they look
Yeah.
through.
And they have like the same like eyes, they have the same like facial like
Yeah.
features and stuff like that.
It's kind of like in Limitless, like how he takes the pill and it increases
Yeah.
his brain function to the point
Yeah.
where he is able to like use telekinesis and shit like that. So I wonder if
Yeah.
it's something like that.
Yeah, and he like owed a favor to Jonathan as well, right? That's why he didn't eat Miss Brisby.
And like Nicodemus had like that red amulet.
Yeah.
I always wanted to know what that was. Like, where
Yeah.
did he get that? What is like,
Because I
what's
think
it made
Jonathan made
of?
it. I think Jonathan made it, didn't he?
Yeah, he left it to Nicodemus to give to her.
Yeah, because on the back it said like you can unlock any door if only you have the key or something like that.
Yeah, but like, what is this thing?
Yeah. So yeah, Nicodemus is telling her to go to the other side of the stone, the safe spot of the stone. Justin is taking her in the boat. And like we talked about, like they want to live without stealing, stuff like that. They need to volunteer for Dragon to basically, I believe, poison or put Dragon to sleep. So Brisby volunteers for some reason. She doesn't even know why she did, but you know. I feel like she's trying to act like her husband and kind of be, you know, she's like basically replacing him, right? So,
Yeah. I love this internal conflict that she has too.
yeah.
Because she's about to leave and then she's like, ah, all right. And then she like turns around and goes back and she's like, I'll volunteer to do it. And they're like, okay, great. And she's just like,
Yeah.
oh, why am I doing this? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. I don't know why I volunteered to do this. And she's like, just going back and forth on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, she is in there, she ends up getting caught, and she's stuck in a bird cage. And you hear, I like in this movie, you actually see like the human characters,
Yeah, I thought that
like
was
not a
cool.
lot, but like you see, like usually it's like only like their feet or like from behind. So the farmer wants to take out the rose bush because he knows the rats are in there, so tomorrow he's gonna hire someone to come and take the rose bush out.
Well, at the start of the movie, he gets a phone call from Nim, and they're asking him if there's anything weird that he notices about the rats that are in his barn. And he says, no, nothing that I can think of.
Yeah.
So, like, they know that these are the escaped rats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's kind of a cool, I don't know, cool thing.
So they're pulling up Frisbee's home. It's like this like giant cement block. And all the kids are still in it for some reason. I don't know why they would just take them out before moving it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kids are in it. I think Auntie Shrew's with Jeremy. And so they're pulling this up. Nicodemus is like on this like cliff, almost like fucking he's almost like Moses. I don't know if that's a person. Is it?
He parted the
And
sea.
yeah. And we see Jenner and another mouse who apparently his name is Sullivan. It's not named in the movie, but I read it on here. His name is Sullivan. They have swords, and then like he's like, all right, cut this down. So he's like cutting it, and then the other guy backs out. But unfortunately, Nicodemus gets crushed by the cement block, and he ends up dying. Yeah, so Jenner is trying to get the stone, get the necklace because he wants it. Justin is fighting with him, and like, dude, like this is a fucking, like, I don't know what the rating of this movie is. I'm sure it's like PG, but goddamn, like they got fucking blood and like people getting stabbed and shit. Like, holy shit, man. Like, our boy Sullivan gets killed basically. But yeah, what do you think of this whole fight with Justin?
I like it. I mean, it's almost reminiscent of the Scar and Simba fight in Lion King. Like, obviously this movie came out way before that, but like, it's dark out, it's raining out, they're climbing on rocks and they're fighting with each other with knives and whatnot. And like, you think that Jenner's gonna win, but then our boy Sullivan fucking pulls through and throws a dagger and it sticks in the back in Jenner's back.
It's like Jesus, man.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe
it's
they showed that, man. Like,
for a children's movie, an animated children's movie. It's pretty fucking violent. Like you said, like there's blood, there's a sword fight, there's like stabbing, people are getting sliced, and it's surprising that this type of thing was in a kid's movie. One thing I do like about this movie as a whole is that they don't focus, like Jenner is our antagonist and our villain, but the movie doesn't focus on him at all.
No, it doesn't.
Like, he has very, very, very minimal screen time.
Yeah, because he's trying to act like he's trying to blend in a little bit with everyone. Like, you can tell he is leading them, but he's trying to like deceive them. Like, whenever he's about to leave, and he's like, he's not saying that he's a leader, but he's like, all right, let's go back to the rose bush. Like, let's just like gather ourselves, and then one day we'll fulfill Nicodemus's plan to go to the Thorn Valley. And like, you know, kind of propaganda-ish, like, oh, we'll go there one day, you know.
But yeah, it's one, 'cause this movie is so much bigger than just having a villain and having the good guys win. Like, there's just so many layers to this movie, and much like how we talked about with Don Bluth's movies, there's a lot of layers. And I do enjoy that they don't focus on the villain very much. Like, even this fight, it's very short. It only takes like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then it's done. So it's just, and then they can go back to focusing on the main part of the story.
So yeah, the stone's sinking, and then we see that Brisby has the necklace, and it gives her powers basically, and she like grabs the rope, and it, I don't know, it lifts up the stone with her kids in it. And yeah, she saves the day, and then kind of cuts to the next day or sometime. I don't know if they're in the same spot. Does it say they're in the same area or
Well,
not?
they, I think they made it to the Lee of the Rock or the Lee of the
Oh,
Stone
okay,
or
yeah, they
whatever.
did. Yes, you're right. So they all have their new home. I love that Jeremy gets his girl. He's got like another companion. And you learn that the rats did end up going to Thorn Valley.
Yeah,
And
because we see Nim inspecting the rosebush
oh, right, yeah.
and all the rats are gone. And, Mrs. Brisby gives not Jeremy, Justin the amulet, so he has it now. So it's just, yeah, I don't know, it's a good ending.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Like, Timmy wakes up, Timmy's good to go now. So it's just, yeah, I don't know, happy ending.
One thing I think is kind of funny, and kind of spoilers for our next episode, but this movie opened the same week as E.T.
Oh shit. Really?
and it grossed $14.7 million, initially caused Don Bluth Productions financial strain before finding Cult Sex on home video.
Damn.
So, yeah.
That sucks.
And this is a
But
book as well, too.
I imagine it's a children's book, but I wouldn't mind checking it out.
Her name is actually Mrs. Frisbee.
In the book, yeah.
So, yeah, it's called Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim.
Okay.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, That's the way the blood splatters. I mean,
There actually
yeah.
was some in this one. All right, on a potential first watch, how did you rate this movie?
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I think I'll definitely watch this again with like understanding and kind of pay more attention to it and like actually know what's going on and stuff. Because after talking about it, like, really opens up your mind. I think like the animation is fantastic. I love all the voice acting. The score is really good in this movie too. I love the story. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really bad about it. Just like it is like a kid's movie. Like the first like half maybe is like kind of not boring, but like I don't know. It's a very short movie. It's only like 1 hour and 20 minutes, but definitely like the last half of the movie, like after she meets the great owl, I feel like, locked in. So yeah, score I think will definitely go up for my next watch. So
Okay.
yeah, 3.5 out of 5.
I struggled with my rating. I settled on a 4. I didn't know if I wanted to bump it up even to a 4.5. I think I'll keep it at a 4 though. And like my review, I just touch on like the importance of Don Bluth again, like just how he wasn't afraid to touch on some very heavy subjects in his children's movies. And like I said before too, like they're too deep for kids to fully grasp, but I think like in our subconscious we kind of held on to the messages that he had in his movies. And like you still think back on like All Dogs Go to Heaven and like that final scene, dude, and oh my God, the fucking story behind all that. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. And then The Land Before Time with Littlefoot's mother, and it's just dude, like you remember back and it's just like tearjerker. But they're movies that have stuck with us through the test of time, and like I'm 37, you're 36, like, and these are still movies that touch us, I think. And I just think he did a fantastic job kind of flipping the script a little bit on animation back in the day. Like you mentioned, I think the voice actors were incredible. I fucking love Dom DeLuise as Jeremy. Elizabeth Hartman had just like this very sweet diction of like a mouse, and she's just in constant distress, and she's just, I don't know, she played a mouse very well. And like Jacoby and Carradine, like their tones and like their deep voices and like they're very wise sounding. They did such a great job. And yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy this movie a lot, and I'll definitely watch it again. I'm gonna make my kids watch it too, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they see. Critics' consensus: The Secret of Nim seeks to resurrect the classical style of American animation and succeeds, telling a mature story with rapturous presentation. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say 70%.
Oh, I don't know if you've ever been further off. 93%.
Holy shit. Okay.
That's on 70 reviews and an average score of 7.6 out of 10.
Damn.
Our audience gave it an 86% on 5,000 ratings and an average score of 4.1 out of 5, or an 8.2. What's Letterboxd have for us?
Letterboxd has a 3.9 out of 5 on 14. Or no, 144,000 watches.
It's pretty low.
I don't know if any of we know have logged this. John gave it a 4 out of 5, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
All right, sir. What do you have for me?
Alrighty. So these are mostly movies that I watched a lot growing up, so I don't know if some of these you may not have seen or not. So we'll see. But we're doing a keep five, cut five of movies with animal leads.
Okay. All
All
right.
right. Now, these may not be great movies. A lot of these movies I haven't seen in a
Okay.
long time. There's like two of them that I've watched recently-ish. So we're gonna go first one, An American Tale.
Five Goes West was always the one that I watched.
Yeah.
I might get some slack, but I'm gonna cut this one.
Okay. Okay.
Just because I remember Five O Goes West a lot more.
Yeah. All right. Next one up. Let's go with The Lion King.
I gotta keep that, man. It's one of my favorite Disney movies.
Let's go next one. Let's go Stuart Little.
Fuck it, I'll keep that one.
Okay.
I'll keep Stuart.
Repping her boy Stuart. Let's go Babe.
I'll cut, babe.
Okay.
I'll cut, babe. Damn. I kind of wish I would have kept that instead of Stuart Little now.
let's go with The Secret of Nim.
I gotta keep it.
Okay. Let's go. I already know this answer, but I'll say it anyway. MVP, most valuable primate.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I
I'll cut it.
used to watch that movie so much.
So
Oh
did
my
I.
God.
Oh man.
Let's go with Free Willy.
Oh, keep all
Okay.
day.
Okay. How many got left?
Love how Willie is considered a lead. It's
Well,
great.
that's just not, yeah,
No,
anyway.
I agree. I think it's just funny.
Air Bud.
What do I'm at four for keep, eh?
Yeah, one keep and two cuts left.
I'm gonna cut Air Bud then.
Okay.
I feel like there's at least one more banger.
Okay, yeah, one each. Okay. Homeward Bound.
Keep.
Dude, I'm so happy. I used to
Fucking
watch that
keep.
movie so fucking much.
Me too. I'm pretty sure I burned out our VHS copy of
I
that movie.
wasn't sure if you'd seen this movie. I was like, I don't
Dude,
know.
oh, Homeward Bound was the fucking best.
Yeah. You're gonna be upset about this one. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Ah, shit. Well, fuck Stuart Little then.
Yeah.
I guess I'm cutting it. I don't have a
Got
choice.
no choice.
Fucking Stuart Little, cock-sucking little bastard.
Yeah, I know.
He drew me in with
So
his little red car.
he did, yeah. So yeah, you keeping The Lion King, Stuart Little, Secret of Nim, Free Willy, Homeward Bound, and you're cutting An American Tale, Babe, MVP, Air Bud, and Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Fucking love that MVP was on that list.
Had to, man. I can't also forget about, was it MVX or something? It was like the skateboarding one.
Yeah, or
So,
MXP or something.
yeah, so I
Yeah,
don't know, so
most
dumb.
extreme primate. Oh man, fucking wild movies.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
How'd you rate the scares in this movie?
Man, gonna go with like just because this is a child's movie, I'm gonna go with an 8.
That's fair.
The great owl's terrifying. Even some of the rats are like creepy. Like Nicodemus is this fucking creepy old man. Like he's harmless, but it's just like,
Just the
you
look of
know.
them.
Yeah, exactly. And like he's blood and fighting and just yeah. So I go with an 8 out of 10. What's the next one?
Scariest character.
Scariest character. I'm not gonna say the obvious one. I'm gonna go with Jenner.
Okay.
Because he has like no qualms about killing someone.
That's
Like
true.
he's just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna murder this fucking guy because I wanna be the leader. And just the way he like is just conniving and you know Sullivan learns his tricks and is like, nah, like you're fucked up, man. Like
And I give props to Sullivan because, like, he never wanted to follow through with his plan. And he just felt like he had to. And, like, he's scared. Because Jenner's psycho, but in the end, he pulled through.
Yeah. Now he's no Ratigan, but I mean he's pretty scary.
That's true.
And what's the last one again?
Childhood trauma.
Oh yeah, scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say like a 7. I
That's
feel
fair.
like there's like little breaks in between. Like there's not like a ton of scary stuff, but like you know, when it is scary, it's like, oh shit, man. Like so yeah, go with that.
Sweet. My scare rating, I gave it a 6. Said the Great Owl and Nicodemus are both pretty creepy looking characters, even though they weren't the enemies. And I said, which brings up the point that the actual villain of Jenner is like, he's pretty mid for a villain. Like, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, he's conniving and he doesn't give a fuck who he kills to get this position of power. But it's also like, he's not scary looking or anything like that. Like, he doesn't look like a villain.
No, he doesn't.
Like, he wears like a long trench coat cape kind of thing, and that kind of gives him away. But like, the nice characters are scarier looking than he is. But I also said like, there's quite a bit of creepy imagery just with like the locations, like the end with the sinking cinder block, and it's just like super tense moment because you have her four children in there and you think they're gonna die, and because like the cinder block's filling up with mud and everything like that. So it's a very tense moment, but yeah, 6 out of 10. Scariest character, I went with the obvious pick of the Great Owl. He's just terrifying looking, with his glowing eyes. He's a huge hulking character, and he's on the cover of the movie, and it's a terrifying picture of him. And I like how you mentioned, because I forgot about it, but like, whenever she first meets him and his head's upside down and all fucking twisted around and shit, and you just see it unravel, and it's like, oh my God, like that came out of nowhere. And as for childhood trauma, I'm gonna give it an 8. Like, I picked this movie for a reason, man. This movie used to scare the shit out of me. Some of the characters in it and like the set designs and stuff like that. Just, yeah, really creepy movie. That spider was terrifying. Yeah. Just a lot of creepy stuff in this one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Can wrap this up. We already know what your next pick's going to be, but what's your next pick?
My next pick is Steven Spielberg's E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Right. And you've never watched this?
No, I have.
You have. Okay.
Yes, it just traumatized me as a kid, and I've even looking at his little fucking peanut looking head, it's giving me the shivers, man.
I'm really gonna try hard to get Sarah to watch this with me because she has gone 35 years of her life refusing to watch this movie.
Refusing. Sure, she hasn't even seen it.
She refuses to watch this movie. So
Why
I'm,
is that?
because of the same reason as you, E.T. scares the fuck out of her just looking at him. So I'm gonna try and get her to watch it. We'll see. You'll find out in a couple of weeks if she does.
Sounds good.
But I'm happy you picked this because he is a creepy character, but like,
Is, yeah.
he's cute, creepy. I don't know,
Yes.
just in his mannerisms and shit.
Yeah.
Like, well, I still love this movie,
Yeah.
but yeah, that'd be a fun
Cool.
one.
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thanks for checking out this episode. Let us know your thoughts on the secret of Nim and if you agree that this is a traumatic childhood movie.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.